this is Kilo Delta Zero, Tango Yankee Uniform, KD0TYU, Joe here in Loveland. I'll be net control for this evening's TechNet, sponsored by the Northern Colorado Amateur Radio Club. Taking check-ins, check-ins, check-ins. Care to check in? Please do. KHIV, Ted. Come back again. I'm sorry. I keyed in the same time you did. Please come back.
KE0HIV, Ted, checking in to the net.
Good evening, Ted. What's new with you?
Not a thing. Just take it a day at a time. That's what happens when you're retired. You just have to take everything just a day at a time.
I wish I could say I'm legally retired, but I don't seem to be able to not stop doing something.
Well, it's not the stopping doing something. I always have more to do than I can ever get done in a single day, and I always wonder how I got anything done when I was working.
I thought that same thing many times over. Thank you, Ted. Hang on in there. Anyone else want to check in for tonight's net, please call.
Good evening, Joe, N7GES.
N7GES, good evening, Kevin. Did you get my note?
Yeah, about the receipts.
Yeah, just whenever. That second one, I couldn't read at all.
Yeah, that's what Darren said. I'll try to send it again, and I do have the paper ones here. I don't know who I'll be seeing first, but they're here.
Not a problem. Just whenever you do it. Thank you, Kevin. Let's go back in and see if anybody got to check in.
K0OJ.
Hey, what's going on tonight?
Oh, I don't know. We're back to summer again, so there you go. And I guess I won over whoever it was. I don't know who they were. K0OJ.
I didn't hear anybody double. Go ahead, if somebody was in there. Mike, Rick, and Fort Collins. There's a couple of you. Got KE0HIM. Rick, what's new?
I'm trying to get stuff put away and squared around from my hunting trip. Got back yesterday.
Cool. That's right. You did go someplace this weekend, didn't you?
Only one of us got an elk, but that's okay. We'll all get some of it.
Oh, that's cool, Rick. Somebody else was doubling with you. Come back. If not, will anybody come back? Anybody want to check in, please do.
Kilo Echo Zero, Charlie Papa Romeo, Mark in Loveland.
Howdy, Mark. What's new?
Oh, not much at all. Just another week.
You bet. Hang on just a minute. I got to shut the door. Back. Anyone else want to check in for tonight's net, please call.
Kilo Echo Zero, Juliet Whiskey Hotel. KE0JWH, Gary in Greeley.
Hey, Gary, what's new with you?
Oh, not much. Just listening in, see what the tech is tonight.
It'll be special. It'd be right special. It'd be technical, but it'd be special.
That's good. That's what it's for.
You bet. Thanks so much. Anyone else want to check in for tonight's TechNet, please call.
Hi, good evening, Joe. Whiskey Zero, Julia, Bravo, Romeo, James, and Greeley.
occurrences. Thanks so much, W0JBR. Love to have you on.
Well, thank you, Joe. It's good to actually get off of work in time to actually listen.
Yeah, I heard you and Bill had a little talk today.
Yeah, it was good to get a visit there from Bill and Mr. OJ today.
Well, good. I'm glad you guys got together. Anyone else want to check in for tonight's net, please call.
Kilo Delta Oscar Romeo X-ray, KD5ORF, Joe and Fort Collins.
Hi, Joe. I haven't heard you in a while either. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm finally home. I'm working with a Bofang, the kind that you loaned me from the club. I'm glad it's reaching out to the repeater.
Yeah, you're doing a fine job, doing a fine job. I might mention one thing too, folks, a couple things. First of all, we do record these nets, and only because this is a service to our members. They are posted on the website, so just to kind of keep you reminded, if you forget one of those little things that we might have talked about, you can always go on the website and pull it up under resources. The second thing I want to bring up is if this repeater goes bad, we will be going to the 447-700. That's the Buckhorn repeater. 100 hertz tone, and if you need anything else, we'll give you it if you need it. Only if this one goes belly up. Last week it did kind of go belly up, so that's where we are. So, with that, we'll go ahead and take some more check-ins. This is Kilo Delta Zero Tango Yankee Uniform, Joe here in Loveland. I'm at control for this evening's TechNet, sponsored by the Northern Colorado Amateur Radio Club. Remember, you do not have to be a member of the club in order to join us on our TechNet. So if you'd like to check in, please do.
Whiskey 2, Mike, India, Charlie, Mark in Loveland.
Hi, guy, what's new? Got those things. I'll go ahead and post those if you don't mind.
Oh, yes, please do.
I definitely was planning on doing it, but as everybody kind of knows, it's been kind of sticky around here for the last couple, well, more than a couple days, quite a few days, but taking care of the wife and this and that, so it's been a little thick, but I'll get those up there. What's new with you, my friend?
Oh, the evil raccoons have taken to overturning my squirrel trap every night and gobbling down all the peanuts. So in the morning, when the squirrels like to go out hunting for food for breakfast at first light, there are no peanuts in my trap, and it's been about 2 weeks since I've caught a squirrel, an evil cable-chewing squirrel, that is, so I'm rather depressed.
I can definitely understand that. You have your problem with critters, for sure, but I'm sure you'll get a handle on it. Thank you very much, Mark, for checking in. Appreciate that. Anyone else want to check in for tonight's net, please call.
Kilo Echo Zero, Kilo Alpha Whiskey David out of Fort Collins.
Good evening, David. What's new with you?
Oh, not too much here. Just want to brag on my wife a little bit. She took her technician test not this Saturday, but the Saturday before that, and passed it, so we're waiting on her call sign.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing about the FCC. It takes a while to get it. Hopefully you should get it. I would think you'd have it by now, but maybe not.
Yeah, it took me about 7 business days before I got mine, so I'm expecting she'll probably see it sometime, either tomorrow or Wednesday. So, but I bought her gear for her car, so we'll be getting her all wired up here pretty soon.
Can I be Snoopy and ask what you got her?
Well, I pretty much duplicated my my setup. I didn't want her to have anything different for a number of reasons, but I got the Yaesu 8900 and Larson 270 NMO antenna.
Oh, so cool, so cool. Yeah, I tell you what, that's a nice setup. That is a very nice setup. You're starting out with the Cadillac.
Yeah, it gives us a little bit of opportunity to have some variety. You know, we can play with some 6-meter stuff and, you know, see how that works. And, you know, it just kind of gives us some options. And this way we keep our equipment the same and we don't have to worry about having different configurations between two different pieces of equipment.
Well, excellent, David. I think it's an excellent choice of radios. Anyone else want to check in for tonight's TechNet, please call.
K-A-0-T-E-Y, Ed in Loveland.
K-A-0-T-E-Y, Ed, how you doing tonight, my friend?
Doing pretty good. Went to the club picnic and had a pretty nice time. And I got a quick non-technical question if I could ask whenever it comes time.
I'll go ahead and ask away. What you got?
I was wondering, do any of the club repeaters have auto patch still?
You'll be amazed how many times we get that question asked. As of today, no. That doesn't mean in the future we might not do it. We took it away probably 6 months to a year ago, and the reason we did is no one was using it. We were paying $6 or $7 a month, or maybe 10. I can't even remember what it was. But anyway, it was an amount of money, and no one was using it due to cell phones and various other things. It doesn't. With our new system, we may be able to get auto patch back, but as of right now, to be honest with you, we do not have that.
All right. Thank you. That uses up my question for the night. Back to net.
Jump in anytime you'd like to, Ed. We appreciate the questions. That's what we're here for. Anyone else want to check in for tonight's net, please call. This is KD0TYU, Net Control for this evening. TechNet, sponsored by the Northern Colorado Amateur Radio Club. If there's anyone else out there that would like to check in before we start our question and answer period, please call. I'm just going to run an open call in 0WIQ. Carrie, you out there? You were earlier today, and I shut the radio off, but are you still out there? No, I guess not. Okay, let's go ahead. I've got a couple announcements to make. I'm going to let this drop for a second. Okay, to repeat a couple earlier announcements that I made, this net is recorded, and we are recording it for a service for our members who would maybe had missed something or something that we had discussed. And you can go onto our website at ncart.net under resources, and you can pull up every one of our, thanks to N7GES, Kevin Postos, and it's just a great job he's doing there. The second thing is, if we should have a problem this evening like we did last night or last week, we're going to jump over to Buckhorn's 447-700. Hopefully we won't have anything. I haven't heard this repeater. Of course, I haven't been on in 5 or 6 days. So hopefully this will do this. I'm going to let this drop. Yeah, maybe I shouldn't talk so long. So anyway, we're going to move over to 447-700 if we have any problems. The third thing I've got is we just sent out a note on the tech class, which will be October 29th and November 5th, both days. We're going to offer that to anybody that wants. Just send me an email at treasure, not secretary, but treasure@ncart.net, and I will get you signed up for that. So hopefully that's enough of that. Okay, let's just open this up for anybody that has a question or a comment for this evening on any subject whatsoever. Please call. Folks, remember one thing we found with this repeater, that the noise you're hearing, if you go ahead and key over it, it will work. So don't worry about that. So again, I'll go one more time. Any questions, comments, or anything else for the net right now, please call. Anything.
K0HIB. This is Ted. Joe, I was sorry to hear at the picnic that you were canceling the general class. Do you have any idea when we can try again?
Yeah, very good question. There was a lot of reasons we canceled it. Like, we didn't hardly think we were going to have but one or two people show up. And we had some issues with some other things also. But if we do it, it's going to be after the first year, probably after Hamfest.
Well, I've said in my emails that I've sent to you, keep me on that list because I'm interested any time you start it.
You bet, Ted. Maybe we'll do some personal tutoring or something like that with you. And I'm not sure where Mike's at because I haven't talked to him in probably 2 weeks. So he was another one that was interested in it. But, yeah, we had like about six or seven people I thought we were going to go ahead and go, and then four of them dropped out. So you bet, I'll keep you in mind.
Thanks.
I don't know if that was repeater doing or somebody trying to come back. Please come back if there was someone there. Okay, are there any other questions for the net while we're here? Okay, let's open it up to our general discussion, which I definitely put on the website wrong. I didn't mean SWL, I meant SWR. It's been a rough week last week. Anyway, I've had a lot of people ask me this question about dBs and also what SWR has to do with the antenna. Let me let this drop. And this doesn't have to be just for HF. It also has a lot to do with UHF, VHF. So just remember that this is not all-inclusive into HF. Like, we've done a lot of topics, and that could be my fault. But this is basically whatever, okay? So we're talking about dB gain. What does dB gain actually mean? Anybody care to comment? Am I getting out?
Yeah, you're getting out fine, Joe. I'm sorry, did you just now ask what is SWR? Or I missed the question at the end of your transmission, just had a distraction happen here, but you were fine.
Okay, I didn't get anybody come back, so my question to the board or anyone else that'd like to end this is, again, to kind of preface this, I've had a lot of questions from people who want to buy a new antenna. Doesn't that be HF? Could be UHF or VHF. And they see this wonderful thing called dB gain. What does that actually mean? Go ahead, Kevin.
Okay, well, antennas are rated as how much gain they give you. You're asking the wrong person to give the actual figures. But there is a mathematical rating of the sensitivity of an antenna. I will tell you that there are two different ratings. You'll see this in your study manual or in your operations manual and things like that. The DBI rating, now I'm not sure I can, I'm not coming up with the terms, I'm sorry. But the DBI is based on an antenna which is the theoretical perfect antenna, which does not exist. But the antenna that would not be obstructed or blocked by anything at all. And since it's a theoretical measurement, there's really not a good way to base a reading of rating on that, if I'm understanding correctly. Let me reset.
Right. Well, so isotropic, which is a term you're trying to come up with, Kevin, and yes, there is definitely a way to base that theoretical antenna. And all you have to do is look at the math for it, and you'll see that it is how they establish the gain of everything.
Okay, thank you. But there is a difference between the DBI, which is the isotropic antenna, and DBD, which is based off of a dipole. Bill may have to come and fill in the blanks that I'm not going to get. The DBD rating is obviously a dipole is not going to be is going to be more limited than the I guess I'd say theoretical isotropic antenna because you know there is no such thing. It's a theory more than anything, and so the DB gain is or the DBD gain, which is comparing to a dipole, is a, well, I'm remembering that it's a more concrete figure, but I'm going to have to defer to Bill to give more specifics on that. But it's a figure that will tell you how sensitive your antenna is compared to something else. And so that gives you some idea of how much gain you're going to get. Okay, Bill, can you explain why we might prefer a DBD rating over a DBI rating?
No, I can't because I don't prefer a DBD rating. I prefer a DBI rating. I want to know what it is over the reference isotropic than over a reference dipole. Because you actually end up with more gain in the antenna if you take it over isotropic and not over a reference dipole.
Okay. Then that's something I'll have to re-study because there's something I remember studying for the extra, which I no longer remember at this point in time. Anyway, two different ways of measuring the gain of an antenna or the sensitivity of the antenna. Can you give, maybe Bill, you can explain dB or decibel or, and what the figures are around that, because that also I don't remember. Sorry, Joe, I'm just not trying to take it all away from you here.
Well, it's a logarithmic measurement system, and it allows you to scale the antenna in such a way that you can figure out exactly what kind of gain it does have. Over isotropic, or some people want to use a reference dipole, I don't care which one, but 10 dB gain usually means it's 10 dB, and antenna companies will say over reference dipole. Add 2.7 more to that, and you've got, I think it's 2.1 to that, you got isotropic, so why do you want to throw away 2 dB?
Okay, N7 GES, back to net.
I'm going a little bit, Joe. I'll be back in about 5 minutes. K6VPE.
Okay, good enough. That's great. Now, remember, folks, this is a discussion, okay? This is a discussion. There's no wrong answers. There's nothing wrong with this. This is a total discussion, and we all learn from each other. I like the way that Kerry put it. We all know something. We're just at different levels of this thing. So I think that's a good way to put it. W2MIC, do you have any comments?
W2MIC, oh, all sorts. So, when you're out shopping for an antenna, which I've done more than a few times, you're looking at the manufacturer's rating, which will be in DBI or DBD, and if they're just given in DB, Delta Bravo, that means DBD, or decibels over a dipole. An anisotropic radiator, which in mathematical terms is just a point in space, puts out a perfect sphere with unity gain all around. So if you set that thing on the ground or on top of your car or on top of your house, your radiation pattern looks like a half of a sphere because the ground is gobbling up the bottom half, and the antenna is radiating the top half equally, straight up, left, right, forward, and back. That's why it's really nice to be able to think about this not physically actually existing isotropic antenna. In real life, the worst we can do is a half-wave dipole, and that has some gain to the sides. Most of us are out looking to say, okay, I can put up a wire between some trees, and that's a half-wave dipole. How much better can I do than a half-wave dipole? And you will see all sorts of ratings from manufacturers for verticals and horizontals and beams and stuff. And I'm going to drop and come back. And they will specify how much more signal power they can send in a given direction. Now, if you put up a vertical antenna, like the one I have on top of my car, that antenna will be rated as having 3 or maybe 4 or 5 decibels of gain. And how that is accomplished is the antenna and the ground plane of the top of my vehicle have a pattern that is not half a sphere, but rather it looks like a squished sphere where somebody took their hand on top of the sphere, I can talk, and mushed it down, flattening out that half sphere into something that looks more like a donut or maybe an eclair. And what that means is the antenna is sending more of its power laterally, horizontally, and not so much vertically. The amount of power being rated out of the antenna is still the same. If you're transmitting 5 watts, you're transmitting 5 watts. The question is, how much of that power are you radiating laterally versus how much are you wasting by radiating it straight up into space? And I'll drop it and get back. The assorted types of antennas, so you start with a vertical and you can go with then a multi-element, which is often called a beam or a Yagi. And Yagis can have, the Yagi is a pole with a bunch of elements strung along it, and a Yagi will run anywhere from 7 up to maybe 15 dB, and let me do dB. So 3 dB is a doubling. If I'm transmitting 5 watts into a 3 dB gain antenna, I'm effectively radiating 10 watts of power. Now remember, in real life I'm only transmitting 5 watts, and I'm only putting out 5 watts. But rather than sending that 5 watts equally in a half of a sphere, I'm preferentially sending out more power horizontally and not so much power vertically. 3 dB is a doubling. 6 dB is another doubling. So every 3 dB is a doubling. So 5 watts into 3 dB, 10 watts. 5 watts into 6 dB, 20 watts. 5 watts into 10 dB, 10 dB is a factor of 10, is an equivalent of 50 watts rated. So what we're talking about here is effective radiated power, a term you will often hear. Drop and come back. Additionally, antennas can have directionality. So a Yagi antenna will typically have 6, 9, 12 dB of gain in one particular direction and not to the sides. That means that you can turn a Yagi on a rotor, a rotator, and it will preferentially give you gain both sending, transmitting, and receiving in the direction that you point the antenna. And it will be relatively deaf, like probably 25 dB or more, to signals 90 degrees off of the beam. That's great, because that means if you're trying to listen to somebody and there's an interfering signal almost in the way, you can turn the beam to put the interfering signal into the null out to the side of the antenna and still have the signal you're trying to hear within the pickup of the beam. So if you get way excited and you're doing multiple stack beams shooting it up to 20-25 dB, and some of the big half dome antennas, dish, will get up into the 50 and 75 dB, but those are really exciting. Okay, Joe, that was kind of long.
No, that was absolutely great. I appreciate that, Mark. But I do have one question. I didn't realize, and tell me if I'm wrong, I didn't realize that dB gain was on receive also. I just thought it was on transmit.
No, it's reciprocating. Yeah, you get to have your cake and eat it too.
Darn, I learned something tonight too, because I always thought it was just flat transmit, because the hex beam is like 5.5, so I consider it around 6 or so. But yeah, really, that's on receive also. I never knew that. That's great.
Yep, so when you have a directional antenna, like your hex beam or a Yagi, not only can they hear you better, you can hear them better. And that's why oftentimes when little stations like me with my half-wave dipole on my roof, and I'm talking to somebody in Italy, the guy in Italy is running a 200-foot tower and a multi-element Yagi. He can hear me, although somebody sitting next to him with a regular antenna could not. And he can blast his signal out so that I can hear him with my little antenna over here.
Oh, that's good to know. Bill, you mentioned something this afternoon when we talked on the phone about an interesting thing that you had with a Yagi, I think it was, wasn't it?
No, it's an entirely different antenna, and I don't want to get into it tonight because I'm not in the mood.
Understand. Well, okay. Any other comments about this? I think it's fascinating. Because people really don't understand what dB gain is, and I certainly didn't. I was only half right.
Let me say one thing about effective radiated power. FM stations typically have a 12,000-watt transmitter into a gain antenna, and they effectively radiate about 100,000 watts ERP. Well, the FCC does care because it's vertical. Radiating that in a vertical mode, so you better be at 100,000 watts effective radiated power, a little under, otherwise you're going to get a slip.
Excellent. I appreciate that. That's good. Any other comments about dB or dB gain?
W2MIC again.
Certainly you have the floor, my friend.
Given that discussion about dB and broadcast antennas, I want to mention something again that we talked about in a TechNet, long ago. And Joe, you asked, in the U.S., an amateur is limited to 1,500 watts, 1,500 watts, on most bands. And you asked whether that was the power at the transmitter or whether that was the effective radiated power from the antenna. Do you remember that discussion?
I do. Go ahead.
And the happy news is, in the U.S., you are limited, hams are limited to 1,500 watts at the transmitter. So if you pump your 1,500 watts, without blowing up your tubes, into a, let us say, 10 dB gain antenna, you are running 1,500 times 10, or 15,000 effective watts radiated power. Woohoo!
With one exception.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's just starting to echo again too, so maybe it wasn't circulator. The 60 meter band, the output is ERP, not coming out of the transmitter.
Yep, you beat me to it.
Yeah, OJ, I got another radio on here and add a little bit louder, so that's probably why you're hearing the echo. Is that any better?
Yeah, we can't stand two of you.
Gee, I understood. You couldn't stand one of me.
What band did you say that was, OJ? You better make that real clear. doesn't have any gain and get all the power you want out from your transmitter.
Yep, and there you're only allowed 100.
But isn't 60 more digital than is anything else? Isn't 60 meters more digital than anything else? Maybe I'm thinking wrong.
Double, say again, Joe.
I said, isn't 60 meters more digital than anything else?
No. I was on there this morning with voice. It's upper sideband only, however. And there are digital modes and CW modes. You got to watch that band so you know what you're doing. All I can say is read up on it. All I do is the voice into stuff. So, anyway, and a lot of rigs won't cover it unless you open them up. But anyway, that gets, well, it kind of does, it kind of doesn't, because the gain of the antenna will, in essence, tell you how much power you'll have to turn your transmitter back to stay at 100 watts ERP. Oh, well, there you go, K0OJ.
Now, that's where MIC was talking about 3 dB gain, doubling your power. So if you have a 3 dB gain antenna, you're going to be able to run 50 watts into it.
But just a question for you guys. I understand the theory, but is that measurable or is that theoretical?
Well, I don't think you're going to get an FCC super cop going down the street to find out, but if you know what the theoretical gain of the antenna is, and, I mean, to the measure gain of the antenna from the factory, and they say it's 3 dB, it's going to double your power, so you just have to cut the power back to half that, and you end up with 100 watts. If it's only about 100 watts on that frequency, then cut it back to 50 and use the antenna to get the rest.
Well, that's just an awful lot of power. I know we were talking about that. I mean, this antenna here is a cheap Jetstream, and I think it's got 11 dB on, I don't know if it's UHF or VHF, but I didn't buy it for that. I bought it for the $39.
Bought it for $39, not the gain, huh?
No, we're talking antennas. Like I say, this is a discussion, so anything is open to comment. I actually did this on a test. I wanted to see if I could make something cheap work as well as the Diamond, you know. The Diamond we spent a fortune on. The 510 stuck her way up in the air, you know, ran LM400 to the thing to an 8800. And actually, this is a TYT with running 8X mini cable up to the thing and that $39 antenna. I probably got maybe $50 in antenna and everything going to it and all this and that. And it's got 1 dB, or it's got 1 SWR less than the Diamond does.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't worry about it. As long as it's not real high, as long as it's not above 2-1, I wouldn't worry about it. Anyway, make one more comment about other antennas here, so if I've got it, I'm going to do it.
You're up. Thanks, Bill. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you can build VHF and UHF antennas. A little hard with HF antennas to do this, but you can put vertical antennas with elements in phase. That's what the Diamond antennas and those other antennas do. So if you look at the inside, there are a bunch of half-wave elements fed in phase, and they'll give you a lot of gain vertically in all directions, which I like much better than a Yagi, because I had in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan when I lived there, I had a 20 element UHF antenna, all elements in phase, vertical, and it was made out of copper. And let me tell you, that thing really radiated. You just can't believe. That's when I was convinced, you know, use copper.
Yeah, I lived up there too when I was in the Air Force, and there's not really big high hill anywhere. It's just all flat ground with a whole bunch of trees.
All repeaters up there work pretty good. Anyway, so you can get all kinds of vertical gain too, and that's an advantage when you're on 2 meters and 70 centimeters because you can put up a vertical antenna and don't have to run a rotator or Yagi or anything like that. You can talk to just about everybody you want to.
Well, great. That's super. We got half of this thing done. Now, let's talk a little bit about SWRs. We've talked about it in the past, but I've had a lot of people. Some guy called me the other day and wanted to know something about was SWR important as far as antennas go? And this is an HF deal, so he was wondering when he needed an external antenna tuner. So would someone like to comment on SWRs and how important they really are, or maybe they're not?
N7GES, they're very important if you don't want to burn out your transmitter, because it's essentially a SWR, standing wave ratio. Imagine that your pipe full of water is nice and open, and when you send water, it flows through easily, and there's no problem. Then imagine that your pipe is blocked, and you try to send water through, and it ponds up where it's blocked, and it doesn't go through well. And if you have too much pressure, you might even cause a leak at the closer end of it and have water flowing back at you. And I guess you might say the same thing for the SWR. You have a standing wave which is blocking your signal going out and is even sending power back to you instead of going through the antenna. So it's not a way of measuring the antenna gain. I mean, you won't see specs. Well, you might sometimes see some specs related to it, but it's not something you measure on a product page. It is something that you're concerned about when you connect it to your radio, that you make sure that all the energy your radio is producing is actually going out of your transmission line and your antenna. However, measuring the SWR at the radio is only checking if you've got any standing wave anywhere between the radio and the antenna. That could be, your antenna could be perfectly good, but your cable has SWR, or your antenna. But there are times when you don't know where the SWR is coming from, and it could be happening in the feed line too. But it's important. And then the second part of the question, I'll reset again here. The second part of the question is when to get an external antenna tuner. Most of the built-in antenna tuners, with some exceptions of the really expensive radios, one that I had the privilege of running for a while, the Kenwood 950, will not tune an extremely high SWR. So it has its limits, and an external tuner will tune those higher SWRs ratings better. But the other thing then to keep in mind is, as you're tuning the SWR out, you're making the radio match your transmission line and your antenna, but you're not necessarily transmitting the best signal out if your SWR is high and you're just matching it down with the with a tuner, because it's making the radio happy, but it still may not be sending all of your energy out through the antenna. So tuners are not bad things, they're good things, but they don't necessarily solve all of our problems.
Yeah, that's why
why the 950 did that, Kevin. If you had a real high SWR, it wouldn't tune it to let you know that it's a waste of time.
Yep, exactly. And that's what the smaller built-in antenna tuners do as well. I mean, they'll only tune so far, and they usually holler at you if they can't tune. If it's an automatic tuner, it'll usually holler at you to say that it's beyond its capabilities, even though it's a smaller tuner and wouldn't tune as far as the 950 would. So, yeah, anyway, N7GES.
Well, I guess what you're saying then is that it's if I've got the smaller pipe, then that's not good because I have a lot of back feed, and I understand that. But say I open up that pipe with a tuner, that means I got more signal going out, right?
Yeah, it's kind of a fallacy, Joe. You don't really open the pipe up. You just make the transmitter happy with the pipe.
You might say you're regulating the amount of flow at the opening of the pipe setting the valves so that there's not so much flow that it's backflowing in a way. You're not really cutting the power, but you're making things work so that there's not a standing wave. You will put out more than if you have a high standing wave, but you still may not be putting out a lot of signal if you're tuning out a high standing wave. So your absolute best conditions would be if you could get the antenna itself to match. And that's not always possible. It certainly isn't always going to be possible. But if you can, you're going to have a more effective antenna situation. However, tuners are not bad because they will let you get out on in situations where you cannot get that antenna perfectly tuned. So they're, like I say, they're not bad things, but they may not be making your signal as efficient as it would be if the antenna were naturally in tune.
Well, just to clear something up here, antenna tuners are to protect the transmitter. You don't need to protect the antenna, and you don't need to protect the coax, but you don't want to blow your transmitter up. So you want to match that mess that's out there such a way that the transmitter won't kill itself.
At N7GES. Go ahead, Joe.
No, you go ahead, Kevin. I jumped on you. I'm sorry.
Oh, sorry. No, I just said I concur with that. That's all I had. I was sending it back to you. N7GES.
Oh, it's not a problem. I just, I was just going to say that, you bet. We totally understand that now. But now, let's go one step further with this. We know we don't want to blow up the radio, right? And that's somewhat obvious. Now, I've got an LDG tuner, which I tell you what, I wouldn't part with it for love. Money, I might. But it's an AT1000, and I really do like it. And it will take SWRs to no level. I mean, to way high levels and things like that. I realize you shouldn't run an antenna anything over whatever, you know, so you got to get as low as you can. But this thing would take pretty much anything you got. How about a built-in antenna tuner? Do they do as well as the LDG?
Well, if you just remember that they won't tune as high an SWR, I think that's probably the main difference. You'll have to do more antenna tuning itself with the internal tuner, because if your SWR is at a certain level, that'll be as much as the built-in antenna tuner can handle. Your external tuner will handle a larger mismatch, and it'll be interesting to see if somebody has anything beyond that to add. And that's not to say that the built-in tuners are bad. It's just that they're limited.
W2
W2MIC.
W2MIC, go ahead.
Oh, it's much worse than that. Built-in antenna tuners are designed assuming that they are driving a symmetric half-wave dipole. That's not a bad assumption. A full-blown external antenna tuner, and I should admit that I too own an LDG tuner, will, in my case, I have the AT200, and it will tune an SWR of 11:1, and it will tune asymmetric antennas, specifically end-fed antennas, which is you've got a piece of wire hooked onto the back of the transmitter, and you run it up into the tree. Well, that's got a horrible SWR, so you put the antenna tuner in between, and the antenna tuner will, in fact, drive that antenna with the appropriate balun. Built-in antenna tuners, such as you find in radios from the Big Three from Japan, assume that you are driving a symmetric antenna, a half-wave dipole, using coax. They will not tune asymmetric antennas.
That's not true. 950 will, and I know that because I had an antenna like that in it up in the UP and it tuned it perfectly.
Cool, I stand corrected. I've done quite a bit of experimenting with my assorted ICOM tuners, and they don't like asymmetric antennas at all.
Well, I understand, but I didn't think mine would until I did it, and it did. It tuned it perfectly, and I even had one on the broadcast band, and it did it.
Very good to know. Thank you.
You also have to realize that's a very special radio, too. That is not your run-of-the-mill, off-the-shelf radio, so it's definitely got some advantages in those areas.
Well, the ICOMs are pretty good, too, but I think, Ken, we've put a lot of time into the 950. Trouble is not enough people wanted it, so they discontinued it, which is really too bad. And mine came with a station monitor, too, so it has a spectrum analyzer with it, and an external one, which is a spectrum analyzer and a scope and everything else all piled into one with a big screen.
Yeah, but I think we're missing one thing here, too, is that my understanding was if you had something that's around 3:1, maybe 3.5:1, you might be able to tune it with an internal tuner, but if you had anything that was going to be anything more than that, you ought to start thinking about external. Is that correct?
Well, mine and my 950 tuned 5:1, but I wouldn't let it do that. I always went out and was doing that. I always went out and did something about the antenna, tried to match it better. I had a vertical in the backyard in Oklahoma, and I matched its center band for each one of the frequencies, and it turned out pretty good. And the antenna tuner didn't have any trouble with it at all, so that's what I did. I just wouldn't allow that. I don't allow antennas to get that far out. 2:1 is the maximum for me.
I would kind of guess that most built-in antenna tuners won't handle much over what, 3:1 or something like that, probably. And like Mark said, you know, they won't handle an unusual type of antenna. They're made for a more standard type installation with, you know, dipole and coax and that sort of thing. So, you know, there are the differences. Mine works here at home. My internal antenna works here at home quite nicely. With the antenna I'm using, it'll match it up for the most part, you know, everywhere in the bands that it's, you know, expected to operate. But the SWR probably isn't that high, and it's still functioning, you know, like a dipole or a matched antenna. So it works there. But yeah, you know, if I were going to throw a wire in the trees, or if I were going to work a lot of different antennas where I might not know what the situation was, or an NFED type antenna, you know, various things, you would definitely want something different. If you're going to stick a wand up on your car and run all bands with it, yeah, you're going to need something different.
YOR, I have a question.
Go ahead with your question.
Yeah, I'm again with TS-2000, and I've got to be on my balancing because I'm not down my half stack. But, and the internal tuner on the TS-2000 in conjunction with each other, is that a good thing or a bad thing, or do I just use one or the other, or whatever? Just asking.
Yeah, N7GES. Don't use them both at the same time. That probably would create some problems, I would imagine. Use one or the other, and that's why they make it possible to turn the tuner off. So that you can use an external antenna. And, of course, I guess the external ones could be turned off as well for the same reason.
I think Kevin meant to say so that you can use an external antenna tuner.
Yes, exactly.
I usually leave the antenna tuner on the radio, but I still use the external tuner. I just don't push the button.
That one I'm not sure. The question, I'm going to reiterate because your signal is still very noisy. The question was, you leave the internal tuner on, but don't activate it and use an external tuner. I would think that might be a bit problematic because you've still got something in the circuit supplied by the internal antenna tuner that may be changing things, whereas when you actually turn it off, it's bypassing the tuner completely. So I think if I were you and using an external tuner, I would turn the internal one off.
Roger, I will try that, because I know I'm talking to a brick wall, and usually if I use one or the other, I have better success, over.
Well, think of it this way. If you've got two connected and two tuners connected, and they're both trying to adjust, they're going to be fighting with each other, or there's going to be something in the circuit that's making the other tuner adjust for something that really it shouldn't. So that's my thought. Somebody else should certainly come in and say something if I am either wrong or there's an additional information. But as long as that tuner is on, it is somehow affecting the circuit, even if you're not using the tune button. And I would think that might be a problem if you're trying to use an external tuner as well.
Okay, I'll take advice on that because, you know, I don't want to hurt my radio or burn out the final or what have you on it. So that I'll start doing from here on out. I have one of those little Tokyo boxes. It's about a 30-year-old set that I bought.
Come back with that question again. I'm not sure I understood that answer.
GES.
Go ahead. I can't hear him.
Okay, yeah, Matt, you're in a bad spot. You're just not making it now. Joe, was it my answer you didn't catch or you didn't understand?
Yeah, I guess I was curious because I think I'm doing what he does and it doesn't seem to hurt anything, but I could be wrong. Go ahead with what he asked, kind of a brief statement, and also then give me your answer that you said.
He's putting two high Q circuits in series with one another. I don't know that they would really hurt each other doing that. Just but if one will work, why use two?
Yeah. The question was, I use an external tuner, and I use an external antenna tuner, but my internal antenna tuner is still on, although I don't activate it. Is that a bad thing? And Bill just said that that means there's two circuits involved. It may not hurt anything, but why do it? What I had said was I wasn't sure if it would hurt things, because as long as that internal antenna tuner is on, it is introducing something into the circuit, even if you don't actually make it tune. There's a coil or there's coils and things in the circuit when that internal tuner is on. And that could perhaps affect what the external tuner is doing, or it could affect what the external tuner is doing, or it certainly at the least it might just cut your signal back some or something of that nature. So I would say the best thing to do would be to turn off the internal tuner. Chances are, if you're using a tuner that was built for the radio or connected with the with a multi-pin connector directly to the radio, and it activates with the radio buttons itself, it may already turn the internal tuner off, but you'd have to check that in the manual to be sure.
My comment was there were two high Q circuits in series, and I don't think if you use both of them it would matter. You may get a little loss that you don't want through them, but I said, why use two when one will do?
Yeah, I agree with you, Bill, with that. We've got a 900 here. The catch to 22 to some of these things, especially the Yaesus, these are automatic tuners. So you have to be aware that if you hook an external tuner with it and you haven't done anything, it's going to automatically tune to start with, and that could throw the whole thing in because one tuner's looking at one thing and the other one's looking at the other. So I don't know where you stop, but you'd have to turn that automatic tuner off. I don't know if it would hurt anything like you, Bill, but I do know it's got to confuse the thing.
You'd have to tune both of them, and the way you could do that is turn the external one off, and then tune it with the one that's in the radio, and then turn the radio one off so that it's all the way off, and then tune it with the external tuner, and turn them both on at the same time and see what effect you get.
Personally, I don't think I would bother with all of that in the first place. I think I would just use one or the other. Because, yeah, Joe, if you had them both actually tuning, you know, not just on, but actually tuning at the same time, you would probably get some conflicts. So, you know, practically, you know, the easiest thing is going to be just to make sure you only have one enabled at any given time, probably.
This has been very helpful, and I will take that to advice as the KD0YOR. Thanks, guys, because I'm kind of new at this, as Bill can attest, and I just I don't want to sound ignorant, but I just wanted to ask the question to some people that know more about it than I do. Over.
I'm clear. K6VP is clear.
Good night, Bill. Yeah, well, that's what we're here for. That's not a problem at all. Anytime you got any type of questions, that's what we're here for. And it's not, we've answered some questions that we felt were very important for the time. And that is one, and I've got a 900 here that automatically tunes. And I've also got, I think it's a white T1000 that I can tie into it as a tuner. But I've got an antenna that's pretty dead on. I mean, the worst case I'm out is maybe, oh, I don't know, 2.1 or something like that. So it automatically tunes it pretty easily, so it's not a big deal. But I can understand where you might get confused. I think it would confuse it. I don't think it'd burn it up. I think it would confuse it enough that it may just, one of them just may stop working.
Roger, Joe. I think that's the case sometimes because I use both of them, and I on the meter on the radio it says it's down to one, and I go to transmit, and nobody can hear me hardly. So you do have a point. What's the safe SWR that you can use? I know one's the ideal, but can you use up to like two or something like that, or what's the maximum you want to go before you don't want to transmit?
Oh, I don't know. I know a guy that'll say three is okay. It's not the best, but it's okay. The lowest is the best, okay? But I think if you start walking around 2.5 to 3, I think I'd be concerned. Anybody else want to comment on that? How about W2MIC? What do you think?
W2MIC. Oh, I have lots of thoughts. On the subject of the two tuners, two automatic tuners in series, I agree with Kevin and Bill categorically. Use one. On the topic of what's safe, that depends on the radio, and that will most often be found in the radio specs for what is the maximum SWR that the radio's transmit section can handle. Generally speaking, all radios will handle a 2-to-1 SWR with ease, and most will handle a 3-to-1. Older radios tend to be more finicky. In other words, they will handle 2 but not 3. Newer radios tend to be much more tolerant because their feedback circuit is better. And what the newer radios will do when they see an unreasonable SWR, like 3 and above, is they will automatically reduce their output power, maybe without telling you. So if you have a bad SWR, your radio may say that things are okay, but how the radio is making things okay is by drastically cutting back your output power. And by drastically, I mean you think you're putting out 100 and the radio may be putting out 10 or 5.
Oh, I got you. So what you want to do is you just don't want to have too much SWR. A little might be okay, but, you know, I was always taught not to really do much with anything over 1 or 1.5, and I mean 1.5 or 2 at the very most, but that's kind of good to know. I'll look at my spec manual on the TS-2000 and see what it says, but that's really good. I've been stuck out of here, no pun intended, but I'm going to, I have to do some things before I go to bed tonight because I got to get up real early. Thanks a lot on clearing the net, so KD0YOR, over.
Thank you, sir, for that. Any other comments about tonight's subject, SWRs? Please call.
W2MIC, I've got some general comments on if you have a radio and a coax and an SWR and an antenna, how do you figure out what your actual effective radiated power is? But I'm willing to hold off if other people have questions.
Are there any questions out there? Please call.
Check in for K0HHX.
Say again, I didn't get that.
Wait, check in for Kilo Echo Zero, Hotel X-ray.
Oh, come on, Levi, how you doing?
Jump into that microphone.
Yeah, I was talking away from the radio, my mistake. Doing well, thank you.
Got a question for the net, I hope?
No, I've just been listening to the discussion. Really good information, I appreciate it.
You bet, thanks so much. Anyone else? If not, why don't you go ahead, Mark?
Okay. Well, the discussion thus far has been lots of fun, but as my friend Tony loves to ask, so what? In other words, oh yes, this is profound and very clever and very interesting and lots of fun, and who cares? Well, the real problem that a ham has is, okay, I've got a radio, and I may or may not have an automatic tuner, and I've got a length of coax, and I've got an antenna. So if I tell my radio to run at 100 watts, which is what most of us have for an HF radio, how much power am I actually getting out from the antenna? And to me, that's the big question. And the bad news is, this is a bad news, good news situation, the bad news is that the math is really gnarly. You have the radio, and then you have the coax and antenna system. And the coax has loss characteristics that are dependent with frequency, so lesser cable loses more power at higher frequencies. So RG8X or RG8A will be very lossy at UHF, but will work pretty well at the lower HF frequencies. Okay, so coax has losses that depend on frequency. And then if the SWR of the antenna is way out, like 3-to-1, 5-to-1, there will be a very high voltage on the coax, and that high voltage will be losing power, literally heating up the coax. So the question is, how much power can I get out if I know what the SWR of my antenna is, and how do I figure, and I know what kind of coax I have, and I know how much coax I have. And the answer is that it's extremely ugly, complex math with real and imaginary parts and all sorts of square roots and lots of fun. And it's a huge pain in the aardvark. The good news, promise the good news, the good news is that people have addressed this problem, and there are good free calculators on the web that you enter in how much power you're sending out of your transmitter, we'll say 100 watts, how long your coax is, we'll say 100 yards, just to pick a number, what kind of coax you have, RG8, 9913, LMR 400, whatever, and you pick from a table of coax, and the program or the calculator knows the coax and the coax's frequency response, and you enter in the SWR of your antenna. These are all things you can measure with a tape measure for the coax and an SWR meter or an antenna analyzer for your antenna. And you plug in the numbers.
Mark, do we lose you?
I think so. Where did I cut off?
You plug in the numbers and...
lost me at the very end. You plug in the numbers and kerching, out comes the calculation of what your dB loss is versus your 100 watts that you're starting with and what your actual wattage out is. So you can figure out whether it's worth upgrading your coax or, better still, sticking a ballon on your antenna to bring the antenna's SWR into a more reasonable range. And I have sent the URLs for the calculator to Joe, and he has said he will post them in the resource page on the NCARC website, probably in conjunction with the audio recording of this TechNet. Back to you, Joe.
Thanks so much for that research. I really do appreciate everything that you do for our net, and everyone else also. Sorry, folks, I've been battling this cold since last Wednesday, I think it was, when I had trouble with it there. Are there any other comments or questions? Those are excellent points. I appreciate that, Mark. Any questions for Mark about anything he's mentioned or anyone else tonight?
KB0, any?
Go right ahead.
Yeah, I might mention there's two different aspects to antenna tuners, too. If you have your antenna tuner at the back of your radio, whatever losses in your antenna will be reflected in your coax, so you end up losing a lot of power in your coax. The the best place for an antenna tuner is right at the base of your HF antenna, which, of course, brings the price up and complicates things because you have to have DC power going to your coax to power the antenna tuner at the base. But the best place for an antenna tuner is actually at the base of the antenna. KB0NE.
Thanks, John, for that. I've kind of heard that, but is there, are these things really built to be outside forever?
Oh, yeah. They're built to do what forever?
Well, to sit outside forever. I know Dave's got one, and he really does like it. I've seen them, but I've never ever used one. So that's an actual better way to go, is to tune it right at the antenna, I suppose.
Yeah, roger that. And depending on the manufacturer, yes, they should stay outside forever. You wouldn't want to take an inside antenna tuner and put it in a box and stick it out at your base. You'd probably want to get one that was specifically designed to have a NEMA enclosure, a waterproof enclosure, and stick that at your antenna. of course, with that suggestion, I'm also in my ham shack here. I'm running antenna tuners at the back of the radio, so I'm taking the loss, but seems to work okay.
W2MIC.
And hope we see you tomorrow night. Is there any other comments? That was an excellent point. Any other comments?
W2MIC.
Go right ahead, Mark.
Oh, I emphatically agree. The very best place for an antenna tuner or a transmatch is at the feed point of the antenna. And Dave Johnston, W8XAL, has one and uses it. And he just bought a new house, so we'll see what his new situation looks like. But he had wires up on top of his roof, and he had the ICOM external, I believe it's the AT4, which is an outdoor rated antenna tuner. And yes, you have to run power to it, and yes, you have to run some kind of signals to it, and yes, you have to protect those against lightning. So that's an issue. Most of us end up with an antenna tuner in the shack, and we just live with the losses in the coax. My approach to that is that the higher the SWR of the antenna, the worse the losses in the coax if the coax is low-frequency coax. So as a result, I personally run either 9913 or LMR 400 on everything, including my HF antennas, because if I need to take my antenna a little bit outside of its tuning, I want the antenna tuner sitting on my shack, sitting on next to the radio in my shack, to be able to go up the coax with minimum loss. And as we discussed a little bit earlier, the higher the SWR, the higher the loss, as a function of the coax's frequency response. So my approach is just use UHF rated coax everywhere.
Makes a lot of sense. Yeah, you bet. In fact, I actually, other than this thing right here, which I just threw together to see if I could get it to work, I'm running 9913, I think, out to the hex, and then we're running 400 to everything else. Any other comments?
I'm just curious, Joe, have you tried some distant repeaters and stuff like that with this new diamond one-off diamond antenna you just put up?
Yeah, I can hit anything that I can hit with the 510. I can hit south side of Denver, not a problem. Not really much going up north, so I there's nothing up there that I really have ever hit. But, yeah, I can hit the same thing that I hit with my 500. Sorry, 510.
Okay, well, sounds like you've tested it, so that's great. N7GES.
I'd be with you, Kevin. I really, really didn't think it would work. I just happened to have the stuff. The radio, of course, we bought, you know, because we were looking at the quad band radio. And I really didn't think this would work, but I thought, well, I got the stuff. I'll throw it up and see what it is. And actually, the 510 is a little higher. This one's sitting, maybe 20 feet up, and the 510 is probably 25 feet up. So, but yeah, it's I was really surprised how well it did work, and I mean, I don't know what we did different. We certainly didn't. This one, if you put a meter on it, shows about 1.1 for SWRs across the band, and the 8800 shows 1.2. So. Neither are harmful, but it's just interesting. Any other comments, questions for the net? Well, we had about 22 check-ins. Tonight the net lasted again, 91 minutes. Next week's topic, I had it written down and I lost it someplace here in my notes. Let me drop this for a minute. We're going to talk a little bit about protocol, okay? Suggestions, do's and don'ts about amateur radio. We're going to talk a little bit about what Q code is, 10 code. That ought to send some of you guys back. Repeater usage and also frequency use, okay? And again, these are suggested things. We know that these are gentlemen's agreements, other than some things that are definitely commented by the FCC. But we've had so many questions about different like things that people say that I thought it would be a good idea. So I will go ahead and post that, but just remember, suggestions, do's and don'ts about amateur radio protocol. So if there's no other questions, this is KD0TYU. I want to thank everyone who checked in and all of my experts, and we will see you next week. We'll be on, I will not be on Wednesday night, but I think someone's taking over for that. So we will see you next Monday night, same time, same channel. It's KD0TYU clear.